Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your host. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. So you know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you, to kickstart your work week, and just get through it, plow through it. Hope everybody's doing well. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk about some things at the beginning of the show. If you don't want to listen to it, you can skip forward about 6 or 7 minutes, somewhere in there, maybe less, maybe more. I don't know.
I do feel like we're getting good at being about the 6 minute mark.
Yeah, I don't make the rules.
Somewhere around there.
It's fine. If you want to listen to us talk and hang out for some camaraderie, feel free to stay. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. It's good to have you. Good to have everybody, but good to have you back. So, Kyle, we are going back in to the Siege of Locket. If you haven't listened to it, did I say that right? Is that right?
This is the Siege of Locket Ranch or Farm.
Yeah, or Siege of Locket Ranch. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you're going to want to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah.
So you can figure out who these names are when we talk about Hog Swinger and
True.
All these guys.
Big Dave.
Big Dave.
And Barnaby.
Shout out Barnaby. Hog Swinger. You're going to want to go back and check that out. If you've already listened to it, stick around. That being said, check us out at all our socials. You know where they are. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Join the community. Join the cult. Join the movement that is the Hollow Sky Podcast, which is spearheaded by us and continued on by you.
That's right.
If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got some deets.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. You know it. You love it.
You do.
Write your story out. Send it over there. And we'll turn it into an episode.
Yeah. It'll be cool.
It will be great.
It'll be the best thing you've ever done in your life.
And to be fair, it'll probably be dubbed as AI material anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Hit us with that. And you know what? It'll be a weight off your chest. Paranormal weight off your chest, which is good. You don't need to carry that baggage. You don't need to carry baggage of alien abduction.
I mean, we kind of are like the therapists of the paranormal.
Yeah, sin eaters.
We are sin eaters.
You don't need to carry the weight of living in a haunted house. No. You don't have to carry the weight of being pursued by the MIB.
True.
You can just tell us. Let us be pursued by the MIB for you. It's what we do.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. Head on over to Patreon, see if there's a tier there that tickles your fancy. If you don't like ads, that's where you're going to want to be. Because that's the way you can get the show without them. Easy. Easy. Also, shout out to all our patrons that have already signed up. Love you guys. Hi. Hope you're doing well. The patron sect of the Hollow Cult. You can go to our website where we have a store with some merch, some cool merch stuff. Go over there and check it out. Slim pickings right now. But hopefully, within a few months or so, few weeks, few months, we get some new stuff over there. Best thing you can do, share the show word of mouth. Just keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Share the show, interact, comment, like, all the stupid algorithmic stuff. Go over to YouTube, hype the video, subscribe. You don't even got to watch. Just subscribe and hit the button.
Hell yeah.
YouTube's all about it. It's free, first off, hitting the button. It also takes 1 second to hit the button. Less than.
Yeah. You guys just need to create like 90,000 fake accounts and subscribe.
Yep. We're still 94,400. No.
Something.
Yeah. 94,000 shy of getting that YouTube plaque.
Yeah.
So we're getting there sometime. You can also leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when I find them, I will shout them out. I don't have another one today because we're recording this episode right after we recorded the last one. So
same rules apply.
Not on me.
It's definitely not our fault.
Need to go to Apple and say some nicer things.
Please. And thank you. I also low key see Twiz typing away in his residence. Creating fake email after fake email until he reaches 90,000.
Yes, Twiz, it's on you now.
This is your responsibility.
It's all the emails are 2 wicket,
yeah,
3 wicket, 4 wicket, 90,000 wicket.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, shout out Twiz, our resident juggalo. Whoop whoop. Anyway, yeah, leave us some kind words. We love it. We love you guys. Another way you can support us is by supporting our wonderful sponsors that you will hear from right about now.
Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com, and that's promo code HOLO.
And just like that, we are back, Holocult. Welcome, welcome in. Pull up a chair, grab a seat, if you will, around the digital campfire here in the Hollow Lair.
More like a digital dumpster fire.
Digital train wreck dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Here at the Hollow Lair. And let Kyle magically whisk us away back to Lockett Ranch.
We're there. This is going to be the conclusion, the end all be all
of the saga of the Hog Swinger.
The Hog Swinger.
What a name.
And Big Dave.
Big Dave and the Hog Swinger. Can you, that is a terrifying cryptid moniker. Bigfoot is like, okay. Goatman, okay. Mothman, right. Dogman, like that. They're all pretty explanatory. This one also is explanatory, but it also seems very much more ominous. The Hog Swinger.
The Hog Swinger.
That's something I've never been called in my life.
It's a hell of a stage name.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I don't ever have to worry about that being my name.
Well. If you know, you know. All right. So on the last episode, we ended with John getting assigned as lookout.
Worst job in the world.
As the adults went back to the ranch to acquire the deed and other personal belongings. So that's where we're going to pick back up. So with John being assigned to be the lookout, he's like, all right. And they, what they ended up doing is they pulled the pickup close enough to the house where John was able to get in the bed of the truck, get on the roof of the truck, and then get on the roof of the house, which gave him a view of the entire property at that point.
I understand the schematics behind putting him on the roof so he can see, but there is no safety up there.
No, none whatsoever.
These things are throwing probably 200-pound deer carcasses and swinging giant hogs like ball bats.
Yeah.
You're going to catch a rogue deer carcass to the side of the head up there.
That would suck.
Yeah.
That would definitely hurt.
Not going to know what hit you.
Not at all. Ugh. So John's sitting up there, and as he's sitting up there, he kind of starts stewing in his memories. And that's real man shit right there. Mm-hmm. Real men do that type of stuff. And he's sitting there, and he's like, these motherfuckers, they took our farm from us. You know, they destroyed everything. They just been assholes. And I don't know, I'm pissed.
Some teen angst.
Yeah, and as he's doing this, he starts to catch a smell. Wet hair, blood, and urine.
Gross.
Hit his nostrils. And he's like, oh, shit. And there was a north wind, apparently, and it's you know, blowing right at John here. And so he looks to the north. Sure as shit, there's a creature over there, and it's near the barn. But he noticed this thing, and this is why I asked about the possibility of their vision, because ideally, if John can see it, it can see him. But this thing is just kind of standing there sniffing the air, and John's like, well, I know it can't smell me because I'm downwind from it. At least that's the logic that he's using in that moment, which is fair. He said this one that he's seen was a lot smaller than the others. Mm. It was standing on its hind legs, and it was jet black. He said it stood there for a little while, then it leaped 30 feet at once, and when it landed, it instantly bolts off into the wood line.
Yeah, you're not safe on the roof, John.
Not at all.
I wonder if... So two things kind of popped into my head that... This one may be a juvenile, so perhaps it's not necessarily and like anticipating that they are a threat.
Yeah.
Or they're smart enough to where they know that John's an 11-year-old kid and he's not a threat.
That's a good point, because obviously, I mean, we'll get there, but even because John's like, I'm pretty sure that they didn't see me.
Yeah.
But I need to do my job and go warn the others. So instead of firing a shot, which would obviously alert the creatures, he gets down off the roof, goes into the house. And as he goes into the house, he observes the house and he's like, this place was utterly fucking ransacked. There were claw marks all over the place. The back door was literally broken in half. When John found his father's sitting in the kitchen on a wooden stool. And he's sitting there with tears in his eyes. And as soon as he notices John, he like wipes his, you know, like a fucking man. He wipes his face and he's like, listen, it's time to go. And John's like, yeah, it definitely is, because I seen him. And his father, or his grandfather, comes out of the bedroom with papers and photos. Barnaby was close behind Grandpa with his shotgun ready. And Barnaby must have looked out the window, because he points at the ridge line, and there stands the gray one.
Damn. it. Alerted. Little one alerted everybody.
Yeah. So maybe the little one did play coy. Maybe it was acting like it didn't notice him.
Yeah.
Or maybe his scent is a lot stronger than they realize.
And the little one was the lookout.
Yeah.
John was the lookout. Little dog man, little dog boy, lookout. They both alerted the OGs at the same time.
Yeah. And so at this point, the family basically is, you know, making their way toward the truck. And like in that moment, the gray one standing there, you know, up on the ridge line. So it's above them. And it's just standing there in all of its glory, just fucking jacked and fierce, looking up on the ridge, just being a badass.
Just covered in the blood of lumberjacks and big game hunters.
Yeah. But that day changed John. That day, the gray one officially became the family nemesis John's eyes.
Made his dad cry.
Yeah. And ironically enough, on that day, Steve, John's grandfather made up his mind. He says, I'm going to fucking kill that gray one.
Damn.
That's his life mission now.
Cut the head off the snake.
And I love that mentality so fucking much. The fact that he's like, fuck all the rest of them. There might be 10, 12 of them. I don't care. I'm without a doubt taking the gray one. Me and the gray one are fighting to the death.
Personal now.
It's personal. So the war begins.
I love it.
Grandpa, a month later, sold 100 acres of the property. Why did he sell 100 acres of the property?
To gun up.
He needed money. He hired a blacksmith. And he had this blacksmith make two different kinds of traps. In abundance.
I was going to say, please let him be making body armor. Please let him have a suit of armor.
So he makes two different kinds of traps. In abundance, there's more than just the two. One was similar to that of a bear trap, but roughly four times larger. It had 12-inch spikes that interlocked. And not only did the interlock, but the spikes curled. So once it bit into the skin, it is in. Ugh. The other one was just a smaller version of that. Grandpa and Barnaby, tag team partners for life.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Barnaby.
Hired another crew of hunters to guard the property. Contractors came in and reinforced the home, adding a 6-inch thick tin roof, reinforced wooden doors, and the fireplace was bricked shut.
Yeah.
The next 13 months was an all-out war to reclaim the property. Barnaby on Grandpa's behalf went and did some research on these creatures. He then got in contact with someone of the Chickasaw tribe, who then took them to the oldest living member of the Chickasaw Nation. What he learned that day was out of this fucking world. The property itself was, in fact, in the heart of the Chickasaw Nation. The Chickasaw also knew about the Wolfman. They called them, I'm not going to pronounce this at all correctly, Miko Inchoka Abita.
Nailed it.
It's the best I got.
Nailed it.
Or, which roughly translate to Wolf Hitman. Which makes plenty of sense.
He who swingeth the hog.
Yeah. The Wolfmen had roamed the lands for hundreds of years with what they called Lofa. Today, we call Lofa Bigfoot. The Chickasaw and the Choctaw tribes feared and respected both of these entities. The Wolfmen were known to be fierce hunter-killers. The old man told Barnaby of a hunter party of 10 men that ventured out to gather food. These men were expert hunters and trackers. They were the first to come across these wolfmen. The group tracked the large buck that had moved into the area. This area was a place they hadn't seen before. The land today is known as Lake Sardis. At the time, there was no lake. The land was just wetlands. The men came to a dense forest and found the buck that they had been tracking torn to pieces, its head resting on a tree branch 15 feet in the air.
Nope.
Then, it's even more fucked. Then, two wolfmen leaped down from the trees and started decimating the hunting party.
You don't need to be an ambush predator. You're a wolf man.
Bro. Of course, as any legendary story goes, one man was able to escape. Later that night, people in the village reported seeing large black wolves whose eyes shine red from the firelight. The next day, the Choctaw and the Chickasaw tribe sat down and decided to send out two groups of warriors to kill these beasts. But they encountered five wolfmen and had to retreat. At this point, the elders were afraid. So once again, the Choctaw and the Chickasaw sent out their fiercest warriors into the land of the Lofa, or Bigfoot. They were tasked with stealing bones from the burial ground of the Lofa and take them to the land of the Wolfman. All of this in hopes that the Lofa will come to retrieve them and have an issue
battle
with the Wolfman. So off they went.
I like the way you think.
Into the land of the Lofa. After 4 days, they arrived at the burial ground. They found large mounds surrounded by stones and in the middle, a structure made of large tree branches. They were able to steal a skull of the Lofa. On the way back, the Choctaw and the Chickasaw were separated from each other, and when the Chickasaw finally found the Choctaw, his body was torn into pieces. His arms and legs had been ripped off and thrown about. So, a Lofa found him.
So they're just as bad.
They're just as not friendly as the Wolfman.
I see.
But to be fair, he was also stealing.
Yeah, you can't be a grave robber.
Yeah.
And get treated with respect.
Yeah. That is kind of a thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he returned to the village with the skull, another group of warriors took that skull and ventured off into the Wolfman territory. After three attempts, they were finally able to leave the skull. This then sparked the war between the Lofa and the Wolfmen. This war went on for a year. And I will...
So awesome.
I'm almost going to put money that story there is the one that I've been looking for. Where the Indians, the Dogmen and the Bigfoot all basically fought each other.
Yeah.
So I need to search this story down. I've got to find this story.
You do. How bad do you have to be to intimidate two whole hunting parties of the fiercest warriors of a tribe? Bad.
I think people have slept on the Dogman. I think he's a lot more powerful than we gave him credit for. And the fact that I love the fact that they labeled them as hunter killers.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Because when you first started talking about it, it almost felt like that the Bigfoot and the Dogman interacted with, like, lived in peace of one another. But now that it seems very territorial.
I feel like that's the thing, is that they did live in peace, but it was only because they each had their own territory.
You stay over here, I'll stay over here, we're good.
Yep. And the Chickasaw figured that out and we're like,
smart move.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Shady smart move.
Definitely. Definitely props.
That's some.
Not to mention took balls to go into both territories doing some shady shit.
Yeah.
So hats off to you guys. So the tribes essentially found a worthy adversary for the Wolfman. However, this did create a problem because both the Wolfman and Lofa were essentially in the tribe's area and everybody's area waging this war. So the two enemies were essentially sucking up the food supply at that point.
Probably right? Some collateral damage going on too. Yes.
So the Chickasaw ended up migrating south in search for the food. So Barnaby learned that day the land that the Lockett family had acquired was actually the land the Chickasaw had abandoned all those years ago.
Oh, shout out Barnaby.
Shout out Barnaby. Also, another problem. 7 of the men Grandpa and Barnaby hired went missing.
Damn it.
And this then promoted the sheriff to investigate and come to the property.
Well, yeah. Because you already had 8 big game hunters go missing.
Yeah. So
7.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's a thing where there's been these, you know, disappearances around this farm. So the sheriff finally had enough of it and was like, all right, whatever, I'm coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys a cannibalistic serial killer tribe?
Right.
No, actually, there's werewolves here.
Yeah. So the sheriff sets out to investigate. So Grandpa had to explain to the sheriff that wild animals had attacked the men and now these men are missing. That, you know, this is what happened. Well, the sheriff didn't much buy that. Instantly arrest Grandpa. You're going to jail, bud.
Sorry, Gramps. Yeah, coming with me.
You're going to jail. Then the sheriff decided to take a search party and venture onto the property. The search party was actually going out in the woods without weapons. However, Mr. David was a very well-connected man, Big Dave.
Big D.
And he ended up gaining the ear of the sheriff and convinced them to take weapons and dogs with them.
Smart man.
Yeah. As the police began to ask the remaining men what happened, the men came clean and told him. They told him about the attacks. They told him about the wild beasts that were tormenting the area. Then Barnaby, Mr. David, and Grandpa all shared their stories, which, of course, all falls on deaf ears.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking liars.
This ain't going to bode well.
No. So the sheriff takes 20 civilians, 10 sheriff deputies, and 5 men from wildlife and fisheries to create a search party to search for these missing men. Mr. David and Barnaby also volunteered to go with the group, even though they knew how dangerous this actually was. The search party went out at daybreak. They ended up taking a torn shirt, and I believe it may even have been the first shirt from the missing logger. Regardless, they take a torn shirt, give it to the dogs. They had 7 dogs to track the scent. The men spread out, forming a line 15 yards apart from each other. The first 7 miles of the search resulted in nothing, which, as you recall, the logging road went 7 miles deep, and that's whenever it started getting shitty.
Get into the core.
Yeah. But then they reached the moss-covered oak trees, and the woods went straight sinister. The scent dogs began to slow their pace. One dog just laid down and refused to move. It's like, no, I'm good.
I get that.
I'm not going any further.
No, you saw what they did to Charlie.
Yeah.
That ain't going to be me.
Mm-mm, not today. As the party went further into the woods, the dogs all at this point basically said, fuck this. And they the dogs are turning around trying to run away, pulling the handlers back.
If that's not a sign.
Dude.
I don't know what is.
Yeah, I could like one dog, you're like, all right, this dog's dumb. But the fact that all 7 of them are like, no, get me out of here.
Dogs will fight bears.
Yeah.
That means whatever is out there is more threatening than a bear, go home.
Yeah. Then Barnaby started to notice dark figures moving quickly in front and behind them.
Shout out, Barnaby.
But the sheriff, being awesome, said, "Nope, we're moving forward, bud. We're finding these missing people."
I don't think you are, Sheriff.
We're finding them, guys.
I don't think you are.
I'm the man. We're not giving up hope.
Did you say you want to become a missing person, Sheriff?
No, we're finding them.
Oh, okay. Copy that.
As they moved forward, the train became a little muddy, and that's when they started to find canine footprints.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Each paw print was roughly the size of a grapefruit.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. These prints went on for a few hundred yards and then just disappeared.
It's a big pup.
All of a sudden, the dogs start freaking the fuck out, barking and looking up into the trees.
Yeah.
Two dogs were able to break away from their leash and just get the fuck out of there. Then rustling started from the trees above, and they also started to hear growling noises in every direction. Some of the men instantly freaked out, broke the line, and took the fuck off.
Good for them.
Yes. Mr. David told of how these creatures, like when, I guess when Mr. David got back, he was like, it was unreal how effortlessly these creatures were able to move through the trees, like into the trees, and also onto the ground.
I hate that.
That makes them so much more scary.
I hate that not only are they the top predator just out of pure violence and ferocity, but they're also ambush predators.
Yeah. But they're hunting like a real pack would, like a wolf pack.
And stay out of the trees.
Yeah, that part sucks.
That's like giving Utah raptors the ability to climb trees.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was like, this is equivalent to Jurassic Park letting raptors open doors.
Yeah.
Putting Dogman in the trees.
Yep.
Dogman does not need to be in the trees.
No.
Raptors don't need to open doors.
Agreed. So the group also noticed some of the pack trying to get behind them and cut them off. Like the pack was creating a kill box for the search party.
Very raptor-like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't live in the Jurassic era, but I'm assuming
probably. It's definitely raptor-like.
Yeah.
At this time, motherfuckers just started opening fire. So fuck this.
About time.
It was so crazy and so high strung that one of the wildlife guys ends up getting shot in the arm.
I saw that coming.
Yeah. Somehow the sheriff was able to gather everyone up in a tight circle and they slowly made their way out of there. They were able to escape. And at that point, the sheriff had no idea what happened. He was just fucking confused, but he did instantly radio the station and say, "Release Grandpa." He definitely didn't do what I thought he did.
You know what? I'll give it to him for owning up his mistake.
He also sweetened the deal and tried to leave armed guards at the property for the family. But the family declined because of how many people had already been lost to the war.
Yeah, that does no good.
Yeah.
It does no good.
Yeah, the sheriff still doesn't understand what he's fucking with.
If you want to help, napalm the forest.
Yeah.
Nuke the whole forest.
That would be the solution.
That's how you help.
Yeah.
Putting a couple guys with some shotguns around the front door doesn't... That, no. They had to burn the barn down to get away last time.
Yeah. So, at this point, the family, Barnaby and Mr. David, prepare for war.
Shout out, Barnaby.
Now we switch gears a little bit. John and Grandma were still in town.
Where they should be.
But unfortunately, people start running their mouths and gossip about how the family was actually murderers. Kids started to call John Devil's grandson. Yeah, all of this led to John just throwing hands with all of these bullies.
Hell yeah.
Oddly enough, John said he would try to... This is, and it's weird. It's a weird mentality. John said when he went to fight these other kids, he would try to imitate the gray one. He's like, I would jump at them. I would kick, punch, bite, everything. And it just got... He like got so feral when he fought that at some point everybody was like, yeah, fuck this little crazy kid. I ain't fighting him no more.
Little scrappy guy.
Yeah. He's just too much. Now, poor grandma. Grandma was being ostracized by everyone in the community. Everywhere she went, people would stare, whisper, and all that really started to wear down on grandma. She began to isolate herself from everyone. She was also having trouble sleeping because she would remember the creatures. And now people were being assholes to her. And on top of all of that, she had to worry about her husband and son not coming home.
Yeah.
Because of these creatures.
Yeah.
So now we transition back to the property. The boys figured right. The wolfmen were coming back, and they were ready to retaliate for everyone venturing into the woods. This is what they figured. They're like, we know what we're in for.
We crossed the barrier.
Yeah. So it was nightfall, and the men, Grandpa, Dad, Barnaby, and Mr. David all began to hear rumbling coming through the woods. They said it sounded like a fucking army running.
That would be so intimidating.
I would have gotten in my truck and either lit it on fire or drove away.
Yeah, both.
Both.
Just did it both.
Done.
Yeah, you got to out crazy them. You got to out crazy their viciousness.
Yeah.
Like, damn, he just set himself on fire. What are we supposed to do with that?
So they stood at the back door, or they stood there with the back door open looking into the woods. The noise kept getting louder and louder until they finally saw the gray one emerge. They just straight up shot at the gray one.
Yes.
Because at this point, they want the gray one. They want him done.
I just picture it like a scene from a movie where the dog men are just rolling in. Cocky as hell. You know, they got the high ground. You got the lowly little farmhands down at the cabin. And then as soon as the gray one stepped through the woods, everybody just unloads.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they hit it.
Shit.
Because the gray one steps back and he howls. I mean, it's so deafening. It's so loud. And at that point, the men knew it was on. So they slammed the door, lock it. And then they start hearing the traps going off.
Clink, 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 clink.
Yes. And they start hearing dogmen yelping in pain.
Let's go.
You could hear the sound of creatures. This was genius. You could hear the sound of creatures sliding off the metal roof. Which had also been slicked down with motor oil.
Genius. You know what? I'm gonna give it to the humans for innovation. Cause that I wouldn't have thought of that.
No, not at all.
But the giant bear trap, I don't know if anybody's seen the horror movie Ravenous about cannibals. Also, if there's anything I hate, or if there's one thing I hate about the Midwest, it's all the damn cannibals. But they too have a giant bear trap.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was about like.
That's exactly what I thought of. So, yeah. Shout out to the movie Ravenous.
So, the men were, I guess, essentially just taking shots out the windows at these creatures. They spotted some of the creatures getting stuck in these metal traps. And I guess these traps really did a number on them because John said that by obviously what his father and them told him, that they, like, when these traps would clamp down on these dogmen, they said that the dogmen almost had like a look of terror in their face. Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
They got us.
Nope. I guarantee you nobody had gotten back at them since the Bigfoot war, since the Bigfoot did.
And there was one like in particular that they noticed where the dogman got into the trap and it bit him. And that dogman was like yipping. And he was basically asking homies for help, where two other dogmen came over and helped open that trap to get him out of there.
Yeah, because especially the way they concaved the teeth, you ain't pulling your leg out.
Oh, no.
It's either staying in there or you're opening the trap.
Yeah. And then finally, the gray one appeared, lets out another enormous howl, and the creatures retreat back into the darkness.
Chalk one for the home team.
So tonight, we bested the Wolfmen.
Shout out Barnaby. They're not good at shooting things, but they can set some traps up.
And at that point, whenever Grandpa saw the gray one again, Grandpa took a shot at the gray one. And he hit him in the shoulder.
I take it back. They are kind of good at shooting.
Clearly wounding him.
I just keep picturing these giant feral werewolves sliding off the top of the tin roof in the motor oil.
It would be awesome.
Such a gangster move.
Oh, yeah.
Cheap, effective.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Should have put a bunch of spikes like underneath the awnings of the house where they just impaled themselves.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Guerrilla warfare.
Because this would have been the only night to do it.
Oh, dang. I feel like it's not going to get... It gets downhill from here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone was kind of stoked about this.
Hell yeah, riding high. We got a victory, baby. We got a W.
Not Grandpa.
Not Gramps, though. Gramps is the realist.
Grandpa was worried. Because he knew the gray one had been wounded and was probably going to come back with everything he has. Yeah. The next morning, they walked the property and discovered 9 of the small traps were missing. They also found blood trails everywhere. So the traps did their job. But with that being said, it's predator rules, baby. And if it bleeds,
we can kill it.
We can kill it. They now know these things are not invincible. So instead of tracking the creatures, Grandpa decides to stay close to home, which guaranteed was the smartest move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the next 2 nights, nothing happens at the farm. John's father said the farm felt like the old days. Like, the air was cleaner. It was it had its spark back. But Grandpa knew it wasn't over. And he started going around setting all the traps up again. And he was going all out. He put traps all around the house this time. He even hung one from a chain at the back door in hopes it would snap on one of the heads as they approached the back door. Grandpa knew that since they had wounded these animals or these creatures, they were going to be hell-bent on getting in that house and killing them. So he sat down with John's father and told him how much he loved him. Kind of had that heart-to-heart before it all goes south. Barnaby said it sounded like Grandpa was saying his goodbyes. And I think realistically, Grandpa was saying his goodbyes.
Yeah, he's mentally ready to go face-to-face with the big one.
Yeah, they said after that fight, Grandpa was not the same man. He mentally went into a dark place preparing himself of what was to come.
Yeah, bro hung a bear trap face level from the back door.
Yeah.
That's... Maybe he was a serial killer.
At that point, Grandpa's eyes showed no fear. He had already made peace and was ready to take this fight to the grave. I guess the fight hadn't happened, and before it did, Grandpa went to visit Grandma and John. John said that he held Grandma so tight and was telling her how much he loved her. She knew what was going on, and she made him promise. She said, "You promise me that you'll come back to me." And he did. He promised. But you knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Yep. Just getting... feeling the embrace one last time.
Yep. Grandpa took back off to get ready for the remaining fight. That night, they added more things around the house. They added oil lanterns for extra light, and they poured a bunch of remaining oil in a circle around the house, roughly 40 feet away, with the idea that maybe fire would keep these things back. And then also that they pulled the truck inside that circle, thinking, well, if we get into deep shit, we can set this on fire, get in the truck, and then drive away.
Yeah.
So that night at 3 a.m., one of the dogs started to stir. Walking over to the front door with its ears perked. The fucking doorknob starts turning left and right.
Damn it. Here I was talking about raptors opening doors, and now the dog man can open doors.
Then something hit the tin roof of the house. One of the large traps had been thrown under the house.
Okay, fair.
Grandpa looked out the windows and saw the wolfmen surrounding the house. But this night, only six of them came back to fight. Then all of a sudden, they heard a gentle knocking and scratching sound at the front door. Like someone or something was rubbing its fingernails along the door.
Hell no.
Mr. David crept towards the door, and when he put his ear to it, an impact shook the house. At the back of the house, John's father could hear what he thought was the sound of digging coming from under the floor. They all gathered in the living room trying to figure out what was going on. The creatures were in straight stealth mode. They were watching them outside, and these things were moving in complete silence.
That's horrifying.
They were moving so silent that the dogs weren't even picking it up.
That's horrifying.
Then the gray one slammed against the front of the house again, so hard that it knocked plaster off the ceiling.
Oh my God.
The wolfmen were searching for a weakness in the house, some soft spot to claw into. John's father could then start to feel the floorboards start to move underneath his feet. Grandpa made eye contact with the gray one at this point. He said his eyes were large yellow eyes with jet black pupils, and they were focused on Grandpa. So mutually, these two were at war.
Patriarchal war.
They said this thing had almost like a human expression of anger and malice on its face. At the same time, it was saying to Grandpa, "I'm coming for you."
Grandpa said, "Come get it."
Grandpa said, "Bet."
"Come get it."
He said, "Bet." Instantly raises his gun, points it through the bars of the window, but he wasn't fast enough, because he underestimated how smart these motherfuckers were. And that the gray one recognized, that's a gun. That's what you used to hurt me with last time. And as soon as he raised that gun, the gray one, boom, jumped right off the porch, out of danger. Grandpa looked at Barnaby and was like, "Well, they know what guns are." Old Barnaby laughed and said, "Well, let's find out if they know what a fucking bullet is," and started firing. He just started lighting them up.
Shout out, Barnaby.
Then noises from under the floorboards again. Mr. David also spotted the gray one 15 yards away from the front door, crouched and ready to explode to hit the front wall again. And Grandpa was kind of locked in a trance at that point. He was trying to figure out what the fuck they were doing. Then it hits him. Fuck. They're digging underneath the house to weaken it. They're also slamming into the front. These assholes are literally trying to bring the entire house down.
Can't hide in it if it don't exist.
That's right. Barnaby shot one of them in the eye.
Ah, shout out Barnaby.
And it fell down screaming in pain. Said it almost sounded human. But he shot again and hit it in the back. Then the creature got up and took off into the dark.
That's still terrifying.
Then the gray one slammed into the front wall again. At this point, the gray one is just basically pissed, and he's snarling, just pure anger-filled.
Yeah.
He backed up again and tried to ram it. Grandpa raised his gun and was going to shoot at his legs, but it noticed the gun again and jumps away. So Grandpa's now pissed and started going for the front door. But Barnaby's, like, Grandpa's ready to go outside and fight this thing head on.
It's time.
And Barnaby grabs him and is like, you are not fucking going out there. You open that door and we're all done.
Yeah. Then the dog men have guns.
The gray one slams again. And this time they hear the joints start to crack.
That's so terrifying.
And they knew it was only a matter of time before the gray one or the gray one got through. Hell, it was so bleak that John's father thought about taking himself out. He was literally considering one to the head is better than being eaten alive by these things.
I mean.
But old Barnaby.
Got a point.
Old Barnaby steps up and says, hey.
Snap out of it.
And this is where I prove that Steve manifested Barnaby. Hey, boys, if we shoot these things in the eyes, it really fucks them up and they take off running.
Nobody likes getting shot in the face.
Hell no. And old Barnaby gets to work, shooting and shooting. He caught one in the nose, which sent it off running. So, like Steve said, you shoot him in the face, they don't like it.
Aim for the face, baby.
Barnaby, though, was a piss shot.
Damn it, Barnaby.
And at this time, Grandpa was kind of having a mental breakdown. But Barnaby runs over to his best friend, who's Grandpa, and he's like, hey, asshole, if you don't man up and do this, because Grandpa was a crack shot. He was the man, right? He's like, if you don't get up and do this, we're all going to die. Gray one slams again, knocks the light fixtures down. But this also snaps Grandpa out of it, and he grabs his rifle, takes aim, fires a shot, and he hits the gray one. Fires again, misses. So it's now back and forth. Grandpa, like, there's this dance going on. Grandpa's trying to shoot the gray one. The gray one's avoiding it. Yada, yada, yada. This goes on for 2 hours until sunrise, and the wolfmen finally back off. The men survived, but the house was fucked. The roof was literally separating from the walls. The front wall was leaning in. That day, Grandpa finally decided to abandon the property.
Valid.
He ended up buying a house 50 miles away next to Mr. David, to where the family has lived ever since. And John said Taylor, Mississippi is still plagued by these creatures to this day.
We got to go to Taylor, Mississippi.
And that is the conclusion of the siege. There are like floating details out there because they did go underneath the house where they had dug. Old Barnaby crawled underneath the house.
Barnaby's a hard ass.
Yeah. And the dogmen were actually, I think they also dug underneath the fireplace and were manually pulling out brick by brick of the fireplace.
That's so terrifying. I hate that.
But it makes you, like, rethink about how intelligent the dogmen can be.
Oh, yeah. Taylor, Mississippi is tiny.
So within a 50-mile radius of that is where this siege took place.
Yeah, that's tight. I mean, it is out in the middle of nowhere. Oxford's a big town close by. Well, I say big town, but there's Sardis Lake right there.
Yeah.
Because they said, when you were talking about the Bigfoot and the Dogman battle, they said Sardis Lake didn't have any water in it yet.
Yep. It was all wetlands at that time.
So it's got to be up that away.
It's over there somewhere.
Let's go.
And there's a big-ass lake we can fish.
Yeah. Because there's not really any kind of incorporated towns around it that much.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Especially a big lake like that.
There's one there, Abbeville. Huh.
That's wild.
And it is out in the middle of nowhere. That is crazy. But there's a state park. We could probably camp that some bitch.
Oh, man. We get fucking 8.
Yeah, let's go. Hell yeah. That was ripper, bud.
This is a crazy story, though.
Yeah. Shout out Barnaby. Barnaby's hard ass.
Barnaby was hard ass.
Growing up with the name like Barnaby.
You gotta be.
Yeah, you probably got some shit.
Yeah. So, I bet he gave some shit too, though.
Got to. You gotta tough up.
I bet he did.
That was terrifying.
It's a wild story. It was way more than I expected it to be. I enjoyed it a lot. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
I hope you can find the Bigfoot Dogman battle.
I'm going to look for that.
Because it sounds like the Bigfoot are just as bad.
I bet if I searched Chickasaw or Choctaw legends of it, I bet I find it.
Because what the Dogman, the Bigfoot lacking like razor sharp teeth and shit, they just make up for in pure raw power.
Yeah, just raw power.
Because you got to think, the Dogmans, they're bad some bitches.
Yeah.
But they respect, they don't want to F with the Bigfoots.
No.
They're and like, it, you and it's, stay that's, over there.
That's mutual, too. That means it's mutual, because the Bigfoot's like, listen, I'm not really trying to fuck with you either.
So they're just as bad.
Yeah.
If not bad, or one way or the other.
Yeah.
They just don't want to tussle.
Yeah.
I got to find out what happens when they do, whenever the...
Well, we did an episode on that when Bigfoot and Dogman fight.
Yeah, but I want to find out, like, what happens whenever the Bigfoot found the skull.
Oh, yeah.
In the Dogman camp.
Yeah, it leads me into that story. I got to try to find that story. Yeah,
that's going to be bad.
Because you know what's out there? They said that that war went on for a year, so there's got to be lore behind it.
Man, it's crazy to think that there's, like... populations of these things enough to have a year-long war.
Yeah. It's freaking wild, dude.
I love that they threw the bear trap on the house. I love that.
Yeah, it just says, we are on to you.
That is a dick swing move.
Yeah.
That says, hey, you got us the first time, but guess what? We got it.
I mean, they live up to their name, the Hunter Killer.
Yeah. That's a badass name.
You got them once. But you didn't. You're not going to. They're not going to fall for the same trick twice.
No. It makes me. Who did I have? Would you rather battle a Bigfoot or a Dogman?
I'm now leaning in the camp of Bigfoot.
I almost. I don't know why, but I almost feel like. I feel like I could reason with the Bigfoot.
Maybe.
You know. I don't feel like you can reason with the Dogman. I feel like I can persuade a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
A little more human connection with Bigfoot.
Let's just call it a day. I'll bring you back some Casey's donuts or something. Yeah. Some bagels.
And the Dogman just jumps and bites.
Dogman just tears my head off and throws it on your Kyle's roof.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No. No, that's rude, actually.
I agree.
That's what it is. That was it's wild that these things, that these stories are out there.
It's fucking awesome.
It is and Taylor, Mississippi's tiny. I can imagine just wandering into a diner and hearing, just sitting there, just eating and overhearing people talk about this.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be crazy. That's what we need. We need to put boots on the ground, Kyle.
I'm ready.
That's what the dudes in Hellier did. They just went out and started asking people, like, you know, anybody seen any goblins out here?
Yeah. We'll just go down to Taylor, Mississippi and say, anybody seen some wolf men down here?
Dude, that'd be dope. Taylor's not that far, 6 hours. 6:15. Not far. 6 hours, 15 minutes. We can get down there, have a dogman war, and be back in 24 hours.
That's true.
They just throw my head all the way back to Jerseyville.
No, that would suck. Be impressive, but it would suck.
Be cheap on gas.
True.
All right, Holocult, that's it. That's it. The conclusion to Siege of Lockett Ranch. Hell of a story. If any of you live down, what was that lake called?
No, I forget.
Lake S something. Lake something. Let me look.
Chardini.
Yeah, Lake Sardis. Is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah, Sardis Lake. If anybody lives in Mississippi around Oxford, Taylor, Sardis Lake, you've got some dogman stories. Let us know.
Yeah.
Give us the info. Give us the rundown of the dogman. On that note, thanks for hanging out with us today. Check us out all our socials. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And just as a precautionary thing, start oiling up your roofs. Because that doesn't just go for dogmen. That goes for everything. Like, I heard something on my roof the other night I talked about on night shift. Just oil it down. Oil yourselves down while you're at it. Dogman can't hold on to you. They're obviously not good with it.